while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. In everything we do, right? And it doesn't matter what stakes we put into it. In everything we do, we need the Lord. Whether it's going about your day, running your chores, perhaps you're taking a day off and you don't plan on going too much further than the refrigerator, right? Whatever it is, maybe it's a big vacation, a long trip, it's a decision you're making for your future, it's retirement, it's a career change, it's for some of our group here, it's joining into a career for the first time. What decisions do I make in my schooling? We all have choices, and we all need to consider the Lord in those choices. And not just for the fact that we are afraid of him, not just for the fact that we think that we've got to, we're socially pressured to, but because we recognize that in those words is wisdom. In those words are exactly what we need to be able to decide. It's information. I hate making decisions without time to think. Don't you hate that? Me, I like to ask questions. And I hate when I have to have other people ask questions for me. All right, hey, I'm going over here. All right, well, when you go, ask them this. You know what? Better yet, let me come with you. You know? And sometimes people tell a story and they never answer the questions in the story that I have. Or I've got questions. I need to know information. How does this work? What goes there? Where do I find those? We have questions, and in God's Word often lies the answers to wisdom that we need. Because I tell you what, I can talk to a salesman to get the cost of something. I can talk to an expert to get the value of something. I can sit there and I can talk to people that know what they're doing and find the best way to get something done faster, cheaper, easier, better, longer, last, whatever it is. I can talk to those experts, but they cannot give me the wisdom that God can give me. So let's look at that verse one more time. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. When you've got problems, when your life is a wreck, when you've got great things happening, when there are plans to be made, seek the Lord. Call upon him. Get up in the morning. Lord, this is what I think needs to happen today, but Father, I give myself to your will. You tell me, show me today, keep me sharp. If there's any changes that need to happen, any mixes up in my schedule, let me, Lord, remain diligent. Show me how to do this. But we also see that in this passage of Scripture, it's not just about making decisions. It's about the biggest decision we'll ever make in our life, and that is trusting the Lord. Let the wicked forsake his way, verse 7 says. We need to seek the Lord. And we need to be able to do so while he may be found. While he may be found. You know, these sermons, they are, some are long, some are shorter, but I tell you what, you've always got the Word of God with you. You don't just need to seek him here on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night. You get that Bible out, you seek what the Lord would have to say. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. How is it that I can make decisions based on what God says? Well, I need to keep his precepts right in front of me. I need to look at what it is he has to say, and I need to look at it on a regular basis. And then I'll be able to look at this world and see how it fits into that. And a lot of this stuff doesn't fit into that. So what do? We lay it aside. You don't fit into God's mode. You don't fit into God's model for my life. So you get on out of here. We need to seek him. Ask the question, Lord, in your word, what structure should be in my life? in your word, what kind of decisions, what are the priorities of my decisions? What kind of things do I look at when I make my decisions? Lord, show me how. And we can only accomplish that through the book. We must read it. We must understand it. We must ask questions of it. We got to apply it to our everyday thinking. Because there will be moments. There will be moments where all that is hard to think about. Where the Word of God, decisions need to be made fast, and we're not thinking about the way we were raised. We're not thinking about what God has to say. All we're thinking about is what's going on in this moment. And those can be perilous times. People train all their lives, medical professionals, military professionals, so many people out there who've got to work under a lot of pressure. They train and they practice. They train and they practice. Christians ought to be the same. We train and we practice. We train and we practice. If ever the situation arises, this is exactly what I know that I need to do in order to please the Lord with this decision, in order to get the best outcome out of it. And of course, there will come that time eventually where salvation is done, as we looked at last Sunday. He won't be found here on earth. When his people are raptured away and there's no Lord to be found here on earth, we need to be able to seek him in those moments. Seek him when you have a Bible. Seek him when you have the opportunity to hear the preaching. And don't turn away from him. Don't turn away from him. We need to be able to ask him and go to him and bring up these questions and just give him that trust. I had a teacher, Mr. McMahon, all through high school he was there. I had him almost every year. One of my favorite teachers. He was not a polite teacher. He was not a nice teacher. He was not a fun teacher. But he was a teacher by all means and aspects. He was the one who would kick my tail if I did something wrong. He was the one who on my math test wrote on the back of it, "It's a good thing the Lord doesn't love the intelligent more than he does the unintelligent." Very sobering moment for me. But he was the kind of teacher that never had to say hush, but you walked into his classroom, we hushed. And despite all the jokes that the kids made about him, despite all the mean things that they had to say, when they were sitting down looking at their courses, they had to pick their classes for the next year, guess whose room was filled with students going, "Mr. McMahon, what do we do?" And when people were picking out their sophomore year of college and they were picking out their trajectory in life, guess who they went to? They went to Mr. McMahon. "Hey, what do I do?" They honored him. They respected his wisdom because he wasn't fly by night by his words. He didn't utter the first thing that came to mind. He had a steady, even keel about him. The word of God is 100 times that. These are the things you ought to value, God says. These are the things that you ought to honor. And because we love God, because we trust God, and because we know that what he says, as he said, his words do not come back void, we can trust in him. He's never failed me yet. It's so often the phraseology Danielle and I use in things. Well, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? I don't know. Lord's never failed us yet. We know what to do. Do this with the finances. Do this with the trust. Do this with the faith. Do this with the work. Make sure we're doing everything we're supposed to be doing, and guaranteed when we go to put our foot down, there'll be an answer for that. It's never failed us. I think I've told that story more often than not, every time we've had need. You know what? It wasn't always filet mignon. Sometimes it was corned beef hash and beans. But I tell you what, we always had it when we needed it. We did. Well, what are we going to do about this problem? How are we going to solve this? You know, we firmly believe that this is what the Lord wants. What do I do with that? You do exactly what the Lord wants and you watch. You stand by that Red Sea in your life and you watch it part. You dump out the oil from that little pot and you watch how much comes out. That's what you do. I trust the Lord in the little things and he will supply the ability to do the big things. I must show myself faithful, and every time I know exactly what he'll do. I may not be able to sit there and say that it'll be exactly what I want, but I can tell you this, it will work. Why? Because if you seek the Lord first, you'll find him. Do you think the Lord's hidden? He doesn't hide. He doesn't take things away from us. We've got the Word of God. We've got people around us. The problem isn't that we can't find the Lord. The problem isn't that he is hard to decipher. The problem is we don't want to ask. We get into some of these Christian conversations that go like this. Well, I prayed about it and I have peace. That's not how the Word of God goes. Well, you know, I know that I ain't got the money for it. I know that it's a bad time for me to do it, but I've been wanting me a yellow one of these cars. And I tell you what, the moment I thought about it, there was a dozen of them out there, so that must mean the Lord wants me to buy one. That's reading tea leaves. It's reading tea leaves. I tell you what, the spouse and I, we ain't getting along anymore. And I tell you what, they got this thought and I got that thought. All we ever do is bicker. And I tell you what, I went into my car. I turned on the radio. The first song that I found after I told the Lord I couldn't do it anymore was the song about divorce. So obviously that must be the Lord's will. Why don't you just flip a coin while you're at it? That's not seeking the Lord. It's not. Well, I tell you what, we survived it. Survival is not the point. Well, I was happy, you know, it took me a while, but I was happy again. That's not the point. It's finding happiness and obeying the Lord. And by the way, that's faster. It's faster. It is better to do things God's way. It works out better. It works out quicker than if you try to sedate yourself into it. Than if you try to obey God, give your flesh everything it wants. That's what we're doing it for ourselves. I guarantee you this, I take most of Christians that live passively like that, I take them to a store where a parent goes, well, I've got to get them the candy bar or else they'll throw a fit. I got to get them the cereal or else they'll throw a fit. I got to let them sit there and throw bananas over into the other aisle or else they'll have a fit. That's where all your bananas are going, Brother Dennis. I got to let them do it or they'll throw a fit. And by giving them everything I want, we can get through the store without a panic. And that's the goal. That's not the goal. You sit there disgusted by that. And yet we live our lives that way. If I don't gratify the flesh, I'll be miserable. If I don't gratify myself, if I don't feed my carnality, then I cannot be happy. It's a lie. You'll never walk into that situation right again. Because all you've ever taught yourself is to feed the flesh, feed the flesh, feed the flesh. We need to seek the Lord. We need to seek the Lord. What does God have to say? You know, I sat in the ability to give somebody some advice recently, knowing full well they weren't going to take it. I said, hey, listen, there's a lot of different ways people go through this situation. But if you go through it that way, you'll develop a horrible habit. And you'll never be able to deal with that kind of emotion again because that emotion will be tied to that habit. And every time you feel that emotion, you're going to go for that thing. It'll be a very destructive force in your life. Gave advice to another person, hey, listen, if you don't start processing these emotions, if you don't start finding a biblical way to get through this situation, you're going to blow up one day. You ever meet those people that don't like to deal with things and just put them in a bottle and just wait? But you need to start, no, what I need to do is this. Okay, you're moving too fast. Come back when you explode. There's biblical things that we need to be able to approach life in. And if we don't take a biblical approach, we're taking one of those detours that take forever. Right, my brother, he likes shortcuts, except not shortcuts like how you and I like shortcuts. I'll take a street to get me there 5 minutes faster. He'll take a shortcut, you get you there 15, 20 minutes later, and you got a ticket. That's how he likes them. That's what we like. Oh, let me find a way around it. Let me find a quick trip. Let me do it my way. Let me take the back road. And all of a sudden, you're in trouble. And all of a sudden, it's taking longer. And all of a sudden, you got to pay more for gas. But you don't care. Why? Because you got to do what you wanted to do. You are giving in to the whims of your inner toddler, if you allow me to talk so loosely and almost psychologically. You're feeding the flesh. Your flesh is a brat child. Don't listen to it. It must listen to you. We see in this in verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What we're seeing here in the very first part of this verse is let the wicked forsake their ways. We need to see a lot more lost people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what, whatever's going to happen politically, I've got no hope in it. There's not a man, woman, kangaroo we can put in the White House that's going to fix what's wrong with our nation. What our nation needs is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we need more Republican. It's a bunch of sinners. You're trying to fix a sin problem with sinners. Oh, what we need is a Democrat. No. You're trying to fix a sin problem with sinners. What we need is we need to reach out to the people in our lives and give them the gospel. Now listen, you can't coerce salvation. Doctrine of election is what the doctrine of election is. Right? But that's what people need. Let the wicked be saved. Well, I don't like so-and-so. Did you see what they had to say? Did you see the hearings on what happened on January 6th? Oh boy, you turn on the news, that's all you're hearing right now. It's like it happened just yesterday. January 6th. You know what? That was a very long time ago. How on earth did it take us this long, 6 months, to circle back to that business? Right? How? What? Is it right? Is it wrong? Listen to me. What they need is Christ. I've got certain politicians, I think they're so goofy and so detrimental and so destructive to our country, it almost makes me laugh. I like looking at them and hearing them talk just because, what's going to happen? You know my favorite is AOC. I'm still watching. I figure let's bring her back out for this January 6th thing. That's really all I'm interested in, to see what she has to say. See how the Green Deal is going to pull us out of this one. But no, I don't like, you know what she needs? She needs the Lord. Oh, Joe Biden, what do you think about Joe Biden? What do you think about this? I mean, you see flags driving down the street, tell you exactly how people feel about the president. You drive by people's houses, that's all over the place. And by the way, those words are, I don't want my kids reading those words. Well, I got the right to free speech. Yeah, you know what, you do have the right to free speech. What I'm asking for you is develop some character. I'm asking for some maturity, right? I'm not trying to legislate maturity. I'm asking for it. Can we have a little bit? But anyway, you know what Joe Biden needs? Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Vladimir Putin, Jesus Christ. These professors, philosophers, YouTube people, these Instagram people, they need Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they need. But Christians were so silent. Why? And then we sit there and in our silence we get resentful. What they need is Christ. What they need is to repent. That's what they need. And we need to be the ones out there preaching that. And in love. Not condoning what they're doing. Not being permissive to what they're doing. But preaching repentance in love. And as the Bible says, let them come get some mercy. That's what I want. There's a lot of people out there we hate, and I tell you what, Paul did a lot more than some of these people out there today that we don't like. Paul was a lot worse off than a lot of them when it came down to how he treated the churches. You know what he found? The same mercy we found. And that's the same mercy I want the people in this world that are ripping it apart to have. And I'll tell you what, once they get that mercy, they're going to knock it off. They'll knock it off. Why? Because you can't taste that mercy and keep doing what you're doing. You can't taste that mercy and still sell drugs to kids. You can't taste that mercy and still be at home beating people. Well, brother, now wait a minute. No, you heard what I said. You heard exactly what I said. We follow the line of what the Bible says to the T. To the T. Let the wicked repent. Continuing on in our reading in verse 7. And the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Now we see there the unrighteous man. Now to me, I don't want to wrest the scripture out of context, but in my best understanding here, that almost implies somebody who understood but walked away. And of course, that is the picture perfect image of what the children of Israel are. Those that were called apart, those that were set aside, that had heard the truth, but they were still unrighteous. You know what gets us? The thoughts in our head. You see, you don't just go up to a Christian who loves the Lord and is serving them and tempt them away with a sin. Right? Sin's too easy. Right? We'll see that stuff coming. The devil doesn't come up and say, hey, listen, here's a 14-day package over here to the Bahamas next to this beach where they don't wear. Here, you have yourself a good time, free drinks, all the drinks you could possibly have. Here you go. You don't walk up to a God-fearing Christian and give them that. They're going to look at that and go, no thanks. That's a little bit cheese. That's a big old piece of cheese on a wooden block. I've seen this trick before. I don't think so. Here's what you do. You get him angry at stuff. Get him angry at stuff. You cause divisions in the church. One brother angry at another brother, one sister angry at another one, everybody angry at the pastor. That's what does it. Bitterness. What we've got to do is we've got to repent of those things. How do I repent of bitterness? I go up to the person that wronged me, or I go up to the person that I wronged, and I get that stuff right. That's how I fix it. I get rid of that root of bitterness. We both give it to the Lord, and we both find ways to work together, to build together, to be brothers and sisters in Christ again. That's what we do. What we must do is we must leave away the unrighteous thoughts. Now again, you hear the world talk today, well, they just want to control what you're thinking. No, there are dumb things to think. Right? Wouldn't you have liked that guy that went into that school and shot it up? Wouldn't you like to sit that guy down and talk about his thoughts for a second? Don't have those thoughts. That's wrong. You get some of these people walking up and down the street selling all manner of stuff. Pull them aside. Those thoughts are wrong. We need to be able to acknowledge that there's a right way and a wrong way to think about what you're doing. And there are right and wrong ways to think. And we need to address them. Not just acknowledge them. We need to address them. This is sin. Oh, no, it's a sickness. It's a social... No. You want to do it. It's wrong. Don't do it. You need to seek the Lord and not the own whims of your flesh. Let's not change names. Let's not be nice about it because we're all friends. Let's not cover things up because we're all church members together. Let us forsake the old sins. We need to forsake those thoughts. And what's the next part of the admonishment there? And return. And return. Well, you know what, brother? I kind of fell off my Bible reading. Awesome. Go home, read your Bible. Oh, but no, but I got to weed this, and I got to go to lunch there, and I got people going. No. Go home, read your Bible. Problem. Here's the solution, and you put them together. That's how that works. No, but I've got excuses and reasons, and I've got all. It had to happen. How does that help you fix it? Well, how's your prayer life? Well, you know, we've been busy. You've been that busy. You've been that busy. You need to return to the Lord. Because that's really what it is. When we get off our Bible, when we get off our prayer time, we've left the Lord. And the answer is very simple. We need to seek Him again. We need to seek Him again. I'm gonna tell you a bad parent story we did yesterday. We were over there at Jada's graduation party. And I thought Danielle had Melody, Danielle thought I had Melody, and Melody was out there in the field. Well, no, she was headed towards the street. If I remember at the first time, she was headed towards the street, just kind of doing her thing, just out there. Why? Because she's a little girl. She's just learning how to walk. She's going to practice. She don't know right from wrong. She's just going to be out there walking, right? Proud of herself for every step she can take. Go, little girl, go. It's up to us to watch after her. But she left mommy and daddy, and she didn't care. Our souls are like that. I think of that song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You find yourself walking away from the Lord, you come back. Don't bemoan it. Don't sit there and, oh, man, you know, I used to be able to do this, and I used to. No, get back on it. It's not hard. All right, opening the book, reading it, it's not hard. You do it on your Facebook all the time. You do it on your phone all the time. You do it to the news all the time. Get the book open. You talk on the phone. You gossip at the coffee shop. You do whatever it is that you do. You got words, right? You can say words. Yeah, I can say words. You can say words in your head. Yeah, I can say words. You can pray. You got time to scratch your nose. You got time to talk to the Lord. You got time to drive to work. You got time to talk to the Lord. If you're out there all by yourself doing whatever in the yard, doing whatever over in the field, you've got time to spend with God. And there's no reason for us to be so far away from Him. Doesn't He love you? Doesn't He care for you? Hasn't He given you His Son? Hasn't He given you eternity? Does He not pour out blessings in your life? Is He not a source of comfort to you on the things that don't get fixed? Is He not there for you? Then why aren't we there for Him? and we too will find mercy. See, I love that verse. Let the wicked come and get mercy. Let the unrighteous come and get mercy. The answer is not fear to admit that we're wrong. The answer is not pride. The answer is not ego or individualism. Come and get the mercy. Isn't that so ridiculous? Because so often that's the way we say. You know, if we were to go over to an area that's impoverished with a sack full of money and you opened it up, wouldn't you expect the hungry to come reach their hand into that bag? Wouldn't you expect those that don't have houses to come and reach their hand into that bag and get some money? Why would we, in such need of mercy, sit there and go, you know what? I'm fine. I don't need mercy. No, I had to do what I did. No, you don't understand. That this is a very socially normal thing that I did. I don't need mercy for it. Well, yeah, I did it, but brother so-and-so started it. No, we lay that aside. And you come and you get the mercy. With the solution sitting on the table, we are fools to walk away in our problems. We are fools to walk away in our sin. We need to seek the Lord. Now as we continue on, we see in verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seeds to the sower and bread to the eater." You understand what he's saying there? Because this is how my words work. These are how my ways work. I bring down the rain and the snow on you. And what does that rain do? Is it just there to get wet? Is it just there to be useless? It waters the ground. Waters the ground and it raises the food up, and you even in the ways that I ruin your day, I help you to live. Even in the ways that I disrupt your plans, I give you ways to live. Right? Oh, I was gonna go out. We were gonna go ride bikes. We were gonna go do this. We were gonna go out there and mow today. We were all these plans. Here comes the rain. Oh, but in that, what is that? The Lord feeds. He waters. He takes care of. He goes, you see how, he goes, this is the level I'm thinking at. This is where I am. You talk to surgeons out there. You talk to doctors out there. The intricacy of our bodies. That's God's level of things. That's where he's thinking. And I tell you what, this is ridiculous. You ever, maybe this is just a man thing, I don't know. I'll have a random thought and I'll just share it with my wife. Because she's a smart person. We were sitting there, we were watching a documentary, and I saw a duck eat a snail. It was like, what, 3 or 4 days previous. I go, now what happens to that snail shell in that duck's tummy? We're driving in the car, I say that out loud. And she goes, oh, well, it's designed, it's got a gullet, and the seeds go in there, and the rocks and the things that they eat, grind that up so they can eat it. I go, huh, that's so cool. I hope you weren't making that up, because otherwise, no. How cool is that? And you listen to evolution, you listen to people out there, well, it just happened accidentally. What a weird thing to happen accidentally. That Bombardier beetle, it's got that beetle, it's got two chemicals mixed in its carapace. Well, it mixes them whenever it's in trouble, launches the thing feet away. What a weird thing to develop. Right? I mean, you look at animals. Animals got weird things. That's the level God works at. That's how he understands things. Right down to the T. He'd framed ecosystems where if you take one or two of these kind of animals away, it all falls apart. That's where God's level is. And by the way, the level he's working at goes to feed us, goes to take care of us, to give us wonderful things to look at. That's God's level. Go ahead and keep working on yours. Go ahead and trust your understanding. I mean, here's God over here doing things we've not even fully understood yet. Right? There's huge chunks of the way the ocean works and how everything's happening in there we don't get. He made it to work that way. While we're sitting there studying meteorology, learning new things every year, He designed it. Who are we going to listen to? God, who wrote the book on living, and we're ready to set it aside to do what we want. Do you understand the foolishness of that? That would be that'd be like me showing up to Brother Dwayne's workplace, start telling him how to do stuff, because I've changed out a light switch or two. That's pretty much all you need to know, right? It'd be like me going over to where my father-in-law is and helping him work on the car, telling him what to do. Me, my grandest excursion into fixing cars is swapping out the brakes, and I still had to call him. Right? Oh, no, but I'm pretty smart. I got it figured out. I'm a clever person. You can be a clever person and still not be on God's level. Because God's not a clever person. He is far above that. He designed life. He built it. He knows how our hearts work. He knows how our minds work. He knows the pitfalls we're susceptible to. See, and here we are. Well, no, it's okay. I don't need it. Hey, listen, let me tell you where all the rocks are out there. No, I'm good. I'll figure it out. I know a rock when I see one. We're in trouble. Cause issues. What we need to do is we need to seek the Lord. Why? Because it's the Lord. We got to know who we're dealing with here. We got to know. It is not on my strength as the pastor. It is not on anybody, any church member, church leader's strength. We preach the word because God wrote it. He knows. He's reliable. And folks, the only other response to that is to put our trust in Him. Listen to Him. In a world of voices that are screaming their heads off, do this, accept this, believe that, love this. You can't love me and tell me that I'm wrong. Do you understand what a slippery moral slope that is? I've got a few relatives that I think are wrong. If I sat there and I told them that they were right for the things that they'd done, right, if I encouraged that behavior, I might as well go to jail with them. You understand? You can love somebody, tell them they're wrong. As a matter of fact, if you love someone, you see someone doing something wrong, that's exactly when you do it. It's exactly when you do it. Right? So I was thinking about those raccoons this morning. Two little baby raccoons came over to the party yesterday. I thought it was pretty awesome. Came wandering up. And you know I had one of my kids wanted to go touch it. Well, no. Come here. Come. Why? Because I love him. Oh, but you squelched his personality. You restricted his free thinking. What an abusive father. I stopped him from getting bit is what I did. Right? I stopped him from some kind of disappointment, some kind of pain is what I did. Right? Your kid goes running out to the street. What do you? No! Hey, stop! Right, there was a guy driving down the road. It was on 75 up here. I love the way some people pack things. Had some plastic siding in the back of a trailer. Trailer was not big enough for the siding. If you imagine this little rectangle, he had the top of the siding sitting here, the bottom of the siding coming out the bottom or facing the ground. He's out on 75 going about 75, 80 miles an hour. Guess what happened? Now, the guy who was in front of me pulled up alongside him, meep, 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 nothing. And after a little bit, the guy takes off. I pull up alongside him, ay, ay, ay. Nope, sure enough, I watched in the rearview mirror as that siding hit, came out of the box, hit the air, and just kind of flew over back in traffic. And listen, why? I don't want anybody to get hurt. Well, yeah, but maybe you don't understand. He doesn't have a bigger trailer, so that was the only way he could do it. Don't tell him he's wrong. He didn't have the right kind of straps. He was limited. He didn't have the funds. He's not part of the 1% out there. Money for the right kind of straps. So don't say anything. And we make these arguments. And we make these excuses about sin. When what we ought to be concerned about is the day that sin bites him. We need to be concerned even more about the day they stand before the Lord and the eternity they spend in hell. That's what we ought to be more concerned about. Concerned about that stuff hitting the air, hitting cars. I love. That's what I'm concerned about. It is the Lord that tells us it's wrong. It is the Lord that tells us the inevitable conclusion to our being wrong. We need to trust in Him. We need to trust in Him. So often we're cavalier like that driver of that stuff. Just, no, you guys leave me alone. I know it's out there. I know. Judgmental people up here. You just didn't like. You don't like me driving because you don't like my car. That's what it is. I'm imagining in my head. I don't really know. But no, I'm good with my life. Right? I'll come up with quaint, cute little sayings. I'll design campaigns. I'll design flags. I'll design bumper stickers to kind of bolster some encouragement towards this lifestyle. I'll sit there and I'll talk about it in church. I'll sit there and I'll talk about it in home. I'll go online. I'll create forums. I'll be a headliner to producing that this isn't sin because it feels good. And you will still open your eyes in hell. That's what will happen. Because sin does what it does. Sin does what it does. I've known people sat in the back of churches and they preached more for the devil than they ever did for the Lord. They were more of a witness to the things that you shouldn't do. For everything the pastor said, they had two things to go against it. Why? Because they love their sinful lifestyle more. What we need to do is trust in the Lord. And if I trust Him properly, I'm going to seek Him. I'm going to seek Him. Right? I've got a medical problem. I pick up the phone. I call who? The plumber? Do I sit there, I pick up the phone and call a pizza guy? No, you pick up the phone, you make an appointment with your doctor, am I right? If it's an emergency, you try to see the doctor faster, am I right? And eventually, if it's really bad, we'll see any doctor. We're going right now. That's how we treat our health. Why? Because we trust. They know what they're doing, they've got the shots, they've got the degrees, they've got the stuff. Trust them, right? If I got a problem in this, I go to an expert in that. If I've got problems in life, and we all got them, and I trust the Lord the way that I should, everything in life will bring me to a knee, and I will go to Him. Go to Him. We're sitting at Flat Rock one day, and there was some men, they were changing a tire, and they got a lug nut stuck on there. And you ever see, man, we've all been there, right? We're there, then our friend will try for a little bit, and then they'll try for a little bit, and then we'll try for a little bit. And you know what? One of the brothers says, you know what we need to do? We need to pray. They sat down and they prayed. And one of the brothers said, we should have done that first. Now, I'd love to sit there and tell you that they went back over that and pulled that thing off. I have no idea. I can't remember that far. I just remember the prayer, then I went inside. There was another time, too, where we were at Ben and Jean Hugan's house. You guys know Ben and Jean Hugan, right, brother and sister Hugan? They used to have a bunch of us over at their house, and we would go and we would shoot guns in their backyard, that big old backyard they have. They let us shoot our shotguns at skeet, do skeet shooting in their backyard, do a bunch of stuff. Brother Hugan was really good with that. I mean, that man is very knowledgeable in that business. But we were there, and one of our friends, he drove his truck a little bit too recklessly. And he broke something on the inside. And I'm not a mechanic. I don't know. But all the mechanically inclined men, they're sitting there. And they're tugging on this thing. And they're tugging on this thing to get it out. And they can't get it out. And I go, well, all right. Well, I'm tired of you guys talking about it. I interrupted my shoot. Let me come over there and pull on it for a little bit. And we're pulling on it. We're pulling on it. I pull like more out than should have come out. Whatever it was. I pulled two or three pieces out. And they're all, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they look to see everything that I drug out of the bottom of that car, and they go, oh, no. Yeah, we can pull on things and twist on things and mess with things all we want. But what we need is an expert. Somebody who knows what they're doing. We need to trust in the Lord to do that. Right? Because I tell you what, we'll get rescued like that. I'll pull on something. I'll come over here. Well, what do you think about this? Yeah, I think that's bad. That's bad stuff. But yeah, that's pretty awful. Well, how are we going to fix it? I don't know, man. But I tell you what, it's so-and-so's fault, and they did this and that. What if we sat down and we sought the Lord? What's the Lord's response to this? What do we need to do spiritually? Let's go to the Father first. Because I tell you what, if you need proof that you're a big dumb animal, try to solve a problem without the Lord. See what happens. I think many of us, we carry around regrets and things that we did out of impulse. We did out of haste because we did not stop and consider the Lord. And why didn't we stop and consider Him? Because the trust wasn't there the way that it should be. Again, to use another song, and He walks with me, and He talks with me. And He tells me I am His own. Are we walking with the Lord? Because the more you get to know Him, the more you'll trust Him. And the more that you trust Him, the more that you'll see evidence. And I tell you what, not that you should ever do it based on the evidence, but the evidence will be there. The Lord will prove Himself to you. In times where we think dishonesty is the only option, when you choose to honor the Lord with honesty, you'll see the fruits of it. When God commands you to be bold and you be bold, you'll see the fruits of it. And as He finishes here, so shall my word, this is verse 11, be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Remember the illustration of the precipitation that he used in the verse prior. All these things I do, this is the level I'm at, but all of it, verse 7, so shall my word be that goeth out. What I say to do will hit home. What I say to do will work. None of it returns back to me void. Everything I say has benefit after benefit and link after link, connection upon connection. If you just put it together, it makes sense. All we need to do is study the precepts, trust in the Lord, and you'll see that life that He promised you. You'll understand the life more abundant that Jesus Christ talked about. Or we keep swinging on our own. We don't trust in the Lord. We go out and we sin and we commit whatever it is that the flesh desires and then we wonder why. And then we've got to sit there and we've got to pretend like our regrets aren't regretful. I wouldn't change a thing. I bet you would. I bet you would. I'm not a tremendously big fan of ghost stories, but and of course it's too close to July to be talking about Christmas, but I think about that movie Christmas Carol, where Scrooge is taken back through all the things in his life. I don't regret a thing. All right, well, come over here. Now, this is when the cops showed up. You don't regret that? Now, see this over here. Remember that thing that your kid said because you did the thing? No? Okay, all right. There's regrets. And there's long-lasting effects. Sure, we could twist on it on our own, but who knows what we'll destroy. Or I can trust the Lord. I could do what He says and I can seek Him in everything I do. I can repent of my sin. Trust in His word. Whew, like what happens next. Let's, Heavenly Father, Lord, we